Sorry, that there's around him later. So I haven't got it up yet. Number 48 is Leisure. That's it. My Savior's
praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And it's good to be gathered in His name. And I want to really appreciate young Elijah here for doing this machine, because it's not handy to do it, but you're doing a great job, brother. The Lord bless you. It's handy when we have it for the scriptures and for the singing, isn't it? And we just thank the Lord that Elijah is able to do it. Let's turn in our Bibles again tonight. And Rachel, Nigel's daughter, the test came back good. Everything was clear. So we still want to pray that everything will work out right, and that you'll be completely healed. Amen. And that the Lord will have His way. Let's read Hebrews 3 verse 1. And then I want to read also Romans 10 verse 9 and 10. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Then if we read Romans 10 verse 9 and 10. I would say this is probably one of the most used scriptures for preaching the gospel in all of the Bible. This is a very well-known portion of Scripture. Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's just bow our heads again this evening while we ask the Lord's blessing. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, it's only because of you that each one of us is here tonight. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've shown toward each one of us each and every day. We pray that you'll cover us with your precious blood and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Help us, Lord, tonight. I do take the Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do undertake. I pray that the Holy Spirit will have free course tonight, and that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I pray for Rachel again, that you'll touch her, Lord, and whatever the condition is, that everything will be well, that the lumps will go, that she'll become normal, and that your hand will be upon her in Jesus' precious name. I ask you for the hands raised in this house tonight, that you'll meet every need, you'll answer prayer. And Lord, if anyone would listen in that needs your touch, give them the touch they need in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless Sister Carl and all the boys over in New Zealand and Timothy and his wife, and just have your way in all their lives. And help us here, Lord, as well, that save our children, we pray. We claim every one of them in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. Now close us in for a time with yourself and bless your word till our hearts. And may your name be uplifted. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't hold as long tonight. Just some thoughts and thank the Lord. Rachel's test come back. The blood test, everything was clear. And we thank the Lord for that. We just pray and the Lord will continually work, you know. I know I've said this before, but I'm still going to tell you again. But my Hannah, she had a couple of things wrong with her. She, one thing was the asthma, and she had problems with it. And then it just went, and she never had it again. As she got older, it just disappeared. But she had powerful pains on one side, and it would come. And then she would have it again, and it would come back, and come back. And Jack Coe told her that time, this young woman in the meeting, and she's a pain, and he told her what side it was, to drink 7 glasses of water for 7 days, and she'd done it. And then a while later, come back again, she says to me, Dad, what'll I do? And I said, do it again, and she'd done it again, and she never ever had it again. God healed her. Sometimes the Lord can give us a condition and something. Do you know the man in the Bible, he was told to go down and dip 7 times. 6 wouldn't have done. There was a condition on it. And then there's times the Lord can do it and there's no condition. God just does it. Isn't that right? But as long as we do what the Lord tells us, we do our part, he'll do his part. Amen. Faith. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. That's what confession is. It's faith's way of expressing ourselves as our high priest, Jesus Christ, acts on our behalf according to what we confess. He acts on our behalf. When it is in accordance with God's word, our high priest Jesus Christ will act on our behalf. So when we pray for someone, or we are acting according to the word of God, then our high priest Jesus Christ will act for us. Paul tells us that he preached the word of faith. That's what Paul preached, the word of faith. Paul said that I preached the word of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. And the Lord wants us to have faith. And here in Romans 10 and 9, if we confess our mouths and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And then Ephesians says, by grace through faith are you saved. Through faith. You see, the relation of confession to manifestation. I want you to see that tonight. There is the relation of the confession to the manifestation. God wants us to confess it, then God will manifest it. Now, you might be confessing it for a time before you actually see or think there's a manifestation's happened. Like I mentioned about Abraham this morning. Abraham believed God, but there was no manifestation that you could be seen for a while. But eventually it was seen. It did manifest, it had to. And God's word, you could look at the seed. The seed is always a seed. A seed never becomes a seed. A seed is always a seed. Now you could plant a seed and it could lay dormant. But when the time comes and it's watered and prepared, it'll come forth. There's a time when it will come forth because it's a seed. And God's word's a seed. And when the seed is planted, there's a time when it will come forth. And if we water it by faith, it'll help it to come forth. It will come forth. There'll be a manifestation of it. And when the seed comes forth and it manifests, then you know what type of seed you've got. When you see what plant grows out of it, you know what you have. Amen. And God's word is a seed. Now, when you notice the confession saying the same thing that God says is by faith, that is believing and confessing before experiencing the results. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe it. He wants us to confess it ever before the results. It's like a missionary, I can't remember the man's name, but it's a genuine story. It's a wee pastor, I can't remember his name, gone from me. He was a Chinese man. But there was a missionary in a certain area where he was going, and this missionary was having to go back home again, and he was coming, and he needed a flat, and he needed a bike, and he had a list of stuff he needed, and he prayed, and he felt God answered him, and he praised God for it. And your fella told him, I'm going home, and he said, praise God. And he said, I'm going to have to sell this bike, and he says, praise God, that's my bike. And the fella says, no, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you that bike, I'm selling it. And the fella says, well, I have no money to buy it, but it's my bike. And the boy was convinced he was selling the bike. And cut a long story short, whatever happened was, he couldn't sell that bike. And he left on the bike. But the fella was rejoicing in the bike ever before he got the bike. And then, you know, Billy Bray went to a wee auction. And Billy Bray spotted some sort of a wardrobe or a cupboard. And he thought to himself, that would make me a pulpit to preach on. And he went and he prayed about it in behind a hedge. And the Lord told him the exact amount of money he would need to buy it. And he had the figure of money that he felt God told him. And he came out and the next thing it went away above the money. Let's say it was a pound. Now, I don't know if it was a pound, but we'll say it was a pound. A pound years ago was a lot, wasn't it? But it's nothing today. But say it was a pound. And then the thing went for like £10. So Billy Bray was having a whole discussion with God, and you're telling me a pound, and it went for £10, and they loaded and owned a horse and cart in them days, and they headed out wherever they were going with, and when they got to the place, there's a row broke out, because it wouldn't fit in through the door where it was meant to go. And they were going to smash it up in all sorts, and Billy Bray stepped forward with a pound, and he got it for the pound, because it was his the whole time. Even though it was in the hands of somebody else, God told him it was his. And he believed it and he followed it. He followed it. And he claimed it. And he had it. He prayed that if ever holes went in his shoes or the knees went out of his trousers, he'd quit. That's the way he prayed. And I tell you, God looks after his people. You better believe that tonight. God looks after his people. Amen. And the Lord will look after you. No matter what happens, you commit it to the Lord. Get yourself away alone. And sometimes you have to. And the things happen, and it's between you and God. And nobody else can help you, but the Lord can. And you get away alone and pray. And then when God does speak to you, you keep it. You keep it. Now, Brother John preached last week, and he didn't know anything about it, but I knew, but the case. But our Matthew was applying for a job, I'll tell you. Matthew was applying for a job, and he had the CV done everything out. But when John got a sermon, it was blank. And he come and he preached and he said that there was nothing on the sheet. Because God will give you a new CV. He's one written for you already. And when Matthew got to the job, he didn't need the CV. He didn't need it when he had planned for the job. There's no way that's coincidence. And then the prophecy that Samuel gave also mentioned the CV. Now, there's no way they didn't meet up before church and say, well, Samuel, you prophesy that, and John didn't say, well, here's what I'm going to preach. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, that's went forth, and we believe it. Now, to those that really feel God spoke to them, they need a hold of that and let nothing steal it from them, for that's the word of God. They need to believe it in faith. And others as well, I'm just giving you one testimony, what I know about. But I believe there's other testimonies. And other weeks it could be testimonies and we don't know about them. God speaks to people, but don't let the enemy take it from you. You believe it's yours, that the Lord has done that for you, praise God. Believing and confessing. The confession comes first. And then Christ our high priest responds. And in the case of Romans 10 and 9 here, he responds and he gives you the new birth. But you confess your mouth, you believe in your heart. You confess your mouth, you believe in your heart. You do that all before you're saved. You don't get saved, then do that. But you do that before you get saved. That's actually how you get saved. By believing in your heart and confessing. Now, God, through believing in your heart and confessing your mouth, salvation can save you, which is the greatest miracle in all of the Bible. How much more, if you believe in your heart and confess your mouth, he's healed you with stripes, will he do it as well? If he's a savior for your soul, he's a healer of your body. Because there's one time atonement on the cross paid for it all. And it's not salvation under confession, but confession under salvation. Confession before possession. There's no such thing as salvation without confession. Do you believe that tonight? You have to confess to be saved. Amen. Faith is acting upon God's word, and this always puts God to work, fulfilling his promise. You don't go to work. You don't go to work and fulfill this word. It is God that goes to work and fulfills the word. What you do is believe it. That's your part. It is God that goes to work fulfilling the word. You believe it and you confess you believe it when you say it. And then God goes to work. What are we to confess? Few Christians today have recognized the place confession holds in the plants. You know, for appropriation, to appropriate, what it means is bringing it to pass, to bring that blessing to pass. Whenever the word confession is used, many instinctively think confession, sin, weakness, failure. It's not what people take from confession. But I'm not talking about that type of confession. I'm talking about a confession of faith. Or a profession is another word. Praise God. This is only, you see, them things are only the negative side of the question. Or the negative confession of sin was only to open the way for the positive confession on the salvation. So there is a negative has a part. When you come to the Lord, there's the negative. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm guilty. That's the negative part. But it becomes positive when you get saved. Amen. And that's exactly how it works. Our negative confession of sin was only to open the way for the positive confession on the salvation of a whole life. Lifetime. Not just then, but a whole lifetime believing with their heart and saying with their lips everything God says and his promises we're to say. All our life. Not just one time. The one time that you're saved. You're saved. And I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't believe you need to get saved again. I believe when you're one time saved, you're always saved. Because God doesn't need to do something twice. And if the Lord saved you, you're still saved. And it's not down to how you look saved or act saved. It's down to the word of God that says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why we're saved. Amen. Confession unto salvation is initial form, and then each of its successive forms. So that's the first step. We want to get saved. But there's other steps as Christians now, what we have to confess. That sometimes we're going to need healing. And when we get prayed for healing, there's no point in going out the door and saying, I never felt nothing, I'm not healed. That's not a positive confession. That's a negative confession. You were depending on the sensation. Now, is the sensation greater than the word of God? It's not. You might have had a sensation. The preacher or whoever prayed for you might have felt goose pimples, and he might have felt the Spirit of God running clean through him. And you might have felt it, and that's great, but you might have felt the thing. But whether it was felt or not felt, the word of God says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It doesn't say you'll feel it. Now you will have the manifestation, but it's God that brings that part. Me and you cannot produce that part. So like I said, I was asked to preach a revival a couple of weeks ago, and I went, the first thing I said was, if a preacher has a plan to bring revival, get it broke out now, wherever it is, and we'll start it. You can't do it. There's nobody can break it out from some manual and say, we'll start a revival around the corner here. It is God that sends revivals. The only thing we can do is follow the scriptural instructions to try and promote it, or for God to move. It's not right. And there is instructions. I believe that there is instructions. See, the first form is a new birth, believing. Then the form of the blessing promised to us in the word of Almighty God. The Christian is to act in every phase of his or her salvation and that they know about. Every phase of it we're to act upon. We're to believe with the heart, confess with the mouth, to the extent to the word of faith. That's the word Paul preached, the word of faith, which Paul the Apostle preached. And we know Paul, being the master of the first church age, preached the full counsel of God. Amen. Acts 20 tells us this. Acts 20, verse 20, and verse 26 and 27 as well. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly, from house to house. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Paul the Apostle preached salvation, but he preached healing. And Paul preached the full counsel of God. He preached the resurrection of the dead. And he preached the second coming of the Lord. He preached all them things. He preached the full counsel of God. Amen. Paul acknowledges the grace of God given to him. He acknowledges it. Paul said there was more grace given to me than maybe to others. That's the way he words it, because of the background he had. And I'll tell you what. Paul had some background. Ephesians 3 verse 8 says, for unto me who am less than the least of all saints is a grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul had a greater ministry, he could say, than maybe the rest of them, but then he suffered the more. And God gave him a thorn in the flesh as well. And he sought the Lord thrice to remove it, and God wouldn't remove it. Now I know a lot of modern preachers says he had bad eyesight and he needed glasses, and that's why I write so small a letter to you. That's what they say. I write a small letter to you. So they said he had bad eyesight. Now, people preach that and believe that. Now, you know that's nonsense. That's not what Paul's talking about. It was a messenger from the devil sent to buffet him. That's what Paul's problem was. God permitted it, that he had been buffeted, and he was buffeted it. And Paul received the stripes of Christ on his back and everything except one. Isn't that right? He was shipwrecked. He was often in the deep. Many things happened to Paul. And he was told it would happen to him. But when Paul come to pray for you, you knew you were praying for him. Amen. The power of God was on him. The Bible tells us it was. The Bible says many, many special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. Not just ordinary miracles, special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. All that Jesus did in a substitutionary work. Now that's, when I use that word substitution, that's when he took your place, my place, the place of everyone. He took our place. Do you believe he took your place? And he took my place. So I don't want you to think it as for one person in that sense. It's greater than that. This is maybe substitutionary in the sense it's maybe not the best word. But I hope you understand what I'm meaning by it. He took our place completely. He stood in our room and he stood on our side. And this work that he took is the private property of the individual for whom he did it for. The Lord done it for you and he done it for me, and you accept it by faith. You believe it. So throughout our Christian life, God wants us to believe with our hearts and say with our lips all that he says we are in Christ. What does God say you are in Christ? He says you're complete. He says you're complete. Many times we're struggling, thinking we're not making it. And the Bible says already, you're complete. You are complete. You don't have to do a thing. The Lord's done it for you. All you do is believe it. I am complete in him. What else does it say in Philippians? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you say, brother or sister, I can't do it. The Bible says you can. This is in Christ that you can do it. This is what God wants us to pass. We're not to ignore and neglect the legal stand in Christ. We have a legal stand in Christ. We're heirs with God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You have come into it because the death of the testators made it real. The will's in effect now. It's no longer a will made out to happen in the future. It's in effect now. Because Christ has died and rose again, and the will's in effect now, and you're allowed to use it. Amen. For it is on the basis of the acts of faith which puts God to work in fulfilling his word to us. Look what we are to confess or to whisper in our own heart. Colossians 2:10. And you're complete in him which is the head of all principalities and powers. He's over everything. Jesus Christ over them all. We often worry about the devil and we worry about the demons and we worry about everything, but the Lord's the head over them all. We often pray it and we should keep praying it. Bind the strong one, spoil his goods. We need to keep on praying him. How can you enter his house except you first bind him? And the Bible speaks about a spirit of infirmity. And we're to take charge over the spirit of infirmity. Jesus done it, we're to do it. We're to take charge over it. It can try and come in families. It can try and come in people. It's a spirit of infirmity. It's from the devil. But we're given power. We've been given authority to take charge over the spirit of infirmity and rebuke it. And to confess with the mouth what the Lord's done for us. Our emancipation proclamation, it's real. When the proclamation was made in America all them years ago and the slaves were released, they were freed. And we've been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ from the bondage to the devil. Exodus 15:26, and I have a side note here, and I'll finish in a moment. I won't hold you as long. And here's what it says. It says, if thou wilt generously hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. When we know what the word of God says, we're to confess it. And the word of God says he's our healer. The word of God says he is. The word of God says he sent his word and healed them. The word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, wounds, that is, we're healed. We're healed by the stripes, by the wounds of Jesus Christ. Just like we all preach that the blood cleanses from sin, and we can all amen that. And if we went somewhere tonight and us all that preached, that's not wrong. That's the truth, what they're preaching. What they're preaching's right. Amen. But we could also preach along with it by his wounds were healed. That's the truth as well. So just as the blood cleansing from all sins the truth, but the wounds that Jesus received for our healing is also the truth. Amen. And you know, and this scripture here, you see, it's all about Christ during his exaltation could no more abandon his office as healer than could he abandon his office as of his other six redemptive names, only seven redemptive names. But he never could have banned none of these names. And you know, when the man challenged F.F. Bosworth, the first thing F.F. Bosworth asked him about one of these names, and you know, Jehovah Rapha, it's translated, I am the Lord thy physician. He asked him, does that refer to Jesus or not? And the fellow went off and won. He couldn't answer it. He couldn't deny it. He couldn't deny it. It's like the man that was blind. And I love the song about it. Don Francisco sings about it. They brought in his parents. They grilled him for a while. How many's ever heard that song? That's a brilliant song. They brought in his parents. They grilled him for a while. And then they said, he's old enough. Ask him. And they brought him in. And he said, this man's a sinner. How could he heal you? And he says, why, he's a sinner or not, I don't know about that. But one thing I know, he healed me. I was blind and now I can see. Amen. And then Don Francisco goes on to sing, I can see, I can see, I can see. It's a wonderful song. It's a scriptural song. But that's the same thing. And the Lord's healed. And Jehovah Rapha has translated, I am the Lord thy physician. thy physician. The Lord is our physician. And he's just one of his redemptive names. And you could go to the Scofield Bible, page 7. I know I've mentioned this before, but I mentioned it again. And you can take them 7 redemptive names of the Lord. And one of them is he, that he's your physician. So the Lord's a physician we want tonight. He's a healer of the body. He's a savior of the soul. And he's a baptizer of the Holy Ghost. We're to believe it. We're to confess it with our lips. Then Christ will act as our high priest and make it good. We're to confess that Calvary was our emancipation proclamation from everything outside the will of God and act accordingly. We're to confess that all our sicknesses was laid on Jesus Christ on the cross, that we're redeemed from the curse of disease, 1 Peter 2:24. Galatians as well says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And Jesus Christ became a curse to lift our curse, to break the curse that was on us. How many believe real salvation? You know, there's people, and they're trying to get people delivered, and they're delivering them, and they're delivering them, and they're delivering them. I don't fully believe that myself, I'm but honest with you. I believe if a person really gets saved and delivered, God sets them free. And I believe whatever was holding there, whether it's in the past or anything, is broke. Because he nailed everything to his cross. All the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, he nailed to the cross. So he took it away. Because he took our place. You know what our confession includes? And I'm going to read this and then I'm going to have to close. Our confession includes the whole of scriptural truth. All that this Bible stands for and all that this Bible says is our confession. All that Christ's sacrifice provided, that's what we believe. That's not just salvation. That's a lot of other things as well. Amen? All that Christ's high priesthood covers. Now, it covered, you're saved. It covered all them things, you're healed. But it also covers that he's interceding for you. He's praying for you. And he's coming again for you. The whole of God's revealed will. And here we have the New Testament, the will of God. And this is what God's revealing to us. And this is God's will to us as his people. What we're to do and can do. This is revealed to us, and we're to believe it with all of our hearts. We're to confess that our redemption is complete. Satan's dominion is ended, for Calvary has freed us. We're free on the basis of our emancipation proclamation, never on the basis of feelings or the evidence of a self-census. We're not free on the evidence of feelings or the evidence of self-census. We're free on the fact of our emancipation proclamation. What Christ done on the cross frees us. You might feel it and you might not feel it. But there's one thing, if you keep confessing it, something will happen. There will be a manifestation. Amen. Remission is wiping out of everything connected with the old life. That's what remission means. And we have remission of sins through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going to have it close. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. He doesn't need to join a club to make himself better each week. That's not how the Bible works. This life-changing experience happens for faith when we believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that tonight? It's not the word of God, that's the word of truth. Praise God. Let's stand our feet and we're going to pray, and then our brother Gary's going to come, and we appreciate our brother Gary leading the songs, and appreciate Sister Alvin, the organ. Don't be afraid to turn her up, sister. Praise God. She was blasted up here 1 hour week, and it was great. Amen. Isn't it good to have music? And it's great when Terry brings the accordion. And I tell you, I know all the brothers have said it, but if you have an instrument, bring it. Bang it, top it, whistle it, blow it. But bring it. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's bow our heads tonight and just before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight that you're never changed. You're the same yesterday, today and forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the emancipation proclamation that all you've done for us on the cross, you freed us. We were slaves. We're the enemies of the cross. We were actually the enemies of Christ. The Bible says we were aliens, drawn away from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, but we're made now by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're glad for that tonight. Help us to confess the right things. Help us to say the right things. Forgive us for unbelief. And help us to have the right language. Put with other lips what we're to speak and say. Help us to meditate upon your words. Let them be in our hearts. And to meditate upon them. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, think upon these things. Lord, bless each one tonight as we go from this house. Bless each one. Meet every need. Heal those that need your healing touch tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Don't forget Wednesday night. We'll be back for prayer and Bible study. And the next Sunday morning, Brother Gary's going to be preaching for us. And next Sunday evening, we have Big Henry. And he is Big Henry. He's, I don't know, 6'5" or something, I'm sure. He's a big, tall man, anyhow. And come next Sunday night, expect, and the Lord bless each one. God bless you.
Amen. It is glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me.
Lord, meet their needs, if there's anything unto needs, Lord, then you'll meet them also.
Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Lord bless us. You go. And then don't forget again Wednesday evening for the prayer and Bible study. If you can, please come along to that. So as we go, we want to sing this old word, "You can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone, for I've made my consecration and I've got my heart and my soul." Amen. Lord bless us. Oh, the soul.